Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from Pastor Jessica Roth.
We are going to talk today about Esther. Now, I love Esther because I was that little girl that loved Cinderella. Like, Cinderella was like my favorite story ever. And I think Esther is kind of like the fairy tale of the Bible. You know, I mean, this is like the story of like the girl who shouldn't have been, but then became, and then she had victory in the end. I mean, seriously, Disney should have like wrote a story about her because she's pretty amazing. And this is a story of Esther. And as I've been kind of reading it over, I've read it in the Message because the Message is almost like a storybook. And I've read it all different ways. And I've watched the movie again yesterday, actually, in between, like, cut it up in pieces because my days are crazy. But I did cut it up in pieces, and the movie is so good, and it's called One Night with the King. So if you're writing that down, you might want to see that. All you single girls are not allowed to lust after the king because he's a pretty handsome guy in that movie. And I've heard, yeah, some of our secretaries on staff, they were like, oh, yeah, the king. And I'm like, listen, guys, like, that is not what this movie is about. So, but they did a really great job of telling the story of Esther. Now, not all of it is biblical, I will say that. But, you know, Hollywood has to kind of throw their stuff in there. So what I'm asking you to do is, do you have your Bibles? Pull them out. So many times, you know, we in our age and day, we get used to our phones, we get used to the overhead screens, and they're not bad. I'm not saying they're bad, but I want you girls to feel your Bible. I want you to know that when something hits the fan, because it will, it always does. And when it does, I want you to know, oh, I can turn the pages and I could get somewhere. You see what I'm saying? Because this is our life source. This is the answer to every problem. Everything that has been documented in this word is for you today. You may say, oh, but that's Old Testament. It might be Old Testament, but boy, do I have a lot of lessons to learn from this Old Testament. And God has a plan and a way to show us these things, and it's in the Word of God. So do you have your Bible? Yes. Hold them up. Now, if you got your phone, you're like, I don't want to show my phone. Look, if Pastor Eleanor has her phone, it's totally okay. All right? I get it. We carry a lot of things. We want less things. And this is what we're going to do. This is my Bible. Repeat after me. This is my Bible. It is the Word of God. It is infallible. It is the truth. It molds me. It shapes me. It guides me. It speaks to me. It's the Word of life. And today, I am going to use it, apply it, and have it change my life. Amen. All right. You guys, what is that? That is a faith confession. Did you know that? It's a faith confession. We are a faith church, so we're going to just kick your butt right into faith. All right? We're not going to patty cake you around. We're going to just kick your butt into faith. We're going to do this together. We're going to be happy. We're going to love God, and we are going to do what God has asked us to do. And this is a beautiful story of Esther. Let me paint this picture for you, because I was reading it. It was way too much for us to go over, way too many verses. You'd be like, really? So this is what we're going to do. I'm going to just kind of paraphrase it, and then we're going to hit some points. Now, as I was going through this, I'm talking to my husband about it, and he and I were just going over all the different cool things that you can learn from Esther, and I'm going, wait, I don't have that point, and I don't, well, yeah, but what about this point? And really, I could probably preach on Esther for, like, honestly, a long time, because so many incredible things came from this story. There's this girl, she's an orphan, and her uncle is Mordecai, and he raises her. There's a king, and, you know, this king, he's quite an interesting king. Now, I don't say his name right, Assyrius. Did I say that right? Assyrus? Okay, any theologians in here? Whatever, okay, good. Assyrus. And he was the king. And he had a wife named Vashti. And he asked her while he was having a party to come to him, and she denied him. Now, back then, you don't do that. So he said, that's it, I'm getting myself a new queen. So he gathers all the ladies of the land. They were just every woman. He brought them in, and for 6 months, they were spoiled. They were dolled up in perfume. They were put on makeup. There were so many things that they got to do to be before this king, because they were going to have one night with the king. They were going to have one chance to get his attention. He was checking everyone out in the land. That's a little intimidating, don't you think? Well, here's this little orphan, little Jew, and she, you know, is not probably the ideal person that would be asked to even be entered into the kingdom. And here she was, Mordecai's granddaughter, or, well, actually, I guess she would be his niece because he's her uncle. And he brings her in. She comes in, and here's Mordecai. And he's nervous. I mean, he's just kind of like, I'm giving my baby over to the kingdom. And so he's there. Now Mordecai is in the inner courts of the kingdom, which is a good thing because he can keep his eye on her. And here is Esther. And she's being dolled up, and she catches the eye of the king. Now, what would the odds of Esther catching the eye of the king be? There's how many women being treated for this moment? How many beautiful, luxurious looks and attitudes? And, you know, I'm sure there were women that were going after the king. But, you know, Esther was a godly woman. Esther feared the Lord. Esther loved God. And Esther caught the king's attention. And let me stop there. Before she caught the king on earth's attention, she had caught the king in heaven's attention. And because all of this began to play out, it was such a moment of, where did she come from? Who is this girl? Who is she? Why would he like her? And you see, God began to set up divine appointment for Esther to fall right into place where she needed to be. And the story goes on, and Esther loves the king, and they have a relationship, and then there's a man named Haman, and I'm just going to paraphrase this. Haman comes, and he wants to kill all the Jews. He wants to spill all Jewish blood, and he wants to annihilate them, and he talks the king into it. And there's so many parts to the story. I'm just going to skip some of them. And Esther and Mordecai finds out about this. Esther says, what is going on? What's happening? What is going on with Mordecai? He's sitting in the front courtyard gates weeping. She sends him clothes out like, you need a change. You need to, you know, get yourself together. He denies her clothes. And then so she sends back her servant, and her servant comes back to her with a message and says, listen, you have to do something. Now, Esther was not allowed to go and approach the king without being summoned. So, I mean, it's a very different relationship, isn't it, than our marriages? Our marriage is like, listen, hey, I don't care if you're even in the restroom. I got to tell you something. And like, we got things to do. You know, come on, let's go. That was not how this worked in their world. She had to be summoned to talk to her husband. And if she was summoned and she approached the king, she could be beheaded. Because unless he let her pass through. So she had to find favor, and so her life was at stake if she approached the king on behalf of the Jews. And Mordecai says to her, you're it. You've got to do this. Sister, there ain't no one else. No, he's not going to listen to anyone else. You have to do this. And Esther says, well, if I perish, I perish. And for such a time as this, you've been called, Mordecai said to her. And I say to you, ladies, today, for such a time as this, we live in a very dark world. You have the attention of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'll tell you right now, the way you praise today, he's going like this. What do you need? What do you not? What do you got? What is it you need? What is it that's going on in your heart? You have caught his attention. And see, God has a plan just as he did for Esther. I'm not even going to go to the end of Esther because we're going to stop there for now. We're going to go there. But this is a beautiful story. And your story is beautiful as well. You say, oh, Pastor Jess, my story is not pretty. It's pretty dirty. It's pretty, you know, raunchy. It's pretty, you know, embarrassing. Well, listen, I have a lot of embarrassing stories. I loved Pastor Michelle was up here last week, and it was almost like top that testimony. You got arrested? Like, you know, I mean, good Lord. I mean, I am the dirtiest of the dirty. You know, I have sinned before God. I had sex before marriage. I had abortions. I did. And let me tell you something. When I came before the throne of God, his grace washed me, cleansed me, restored me, made me new. And there is nothing that God will not do for me that he will not do for you. You are sitting in this room today as beautiful pictures of Jesus Christ. You are sitting in this room today as Esther sat before her king, beautiful, spotless, gorgeous, and you have his attention. You go, wow, I didn't know that that's who I was. Listen, I'm telling you, that's who you are. The world likes to tell us who we are, but God wants to tell you who you really are. You were never created or born just by chance. He has a purpose and a plan for you. And I believe through Esther's story, he wants us to learn that today. You see, Esther's story was a story of victory. It was a story of fear. It was a story of faith. This woman was just a normal girl like you and me. And God used her to do extravagant, extraordinary things. And I believe God has that for you. So let's learn from Esther today. Are you guys ready to get into it? You're making notes. The first point is you are chosen. You see, Esther was chosen by the king. He could have chose anyone else, but he chose her. He could have looked upon anyone else, but he looked upon her. He could have found favor with anyone else, but he found favor with her. You see, you are chosen. You are chosen by the Most High God. You have favor in his sight. He loves you more than you can even think, dream, or imagine. He cares for you so deeply that you do not even understand the price that has gone before his love for you. You see, he chose you as Esther was chosen by this king. She caught his eye as you have caught our Father God's eye. And she has favor. Let's turn to Esther 2. We're going to read about this. Esther 2, verses 13 through 18. Esther 2, verses 13 through 18. Thus prepared, each woman went to the king as she was given whatever she desired to take with her from the woman's quarters to the king's palace. Verse 14. In the evening, she went. In the morning, she returned to the second house of the women, the custody of Shazakas, the king's eunuch, who kept the concubines. She would not go in to the king again unless the king delighted in her and called her by name. Now, when the turn came for Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her as his daughter to go into the king, she requested nothing but what Haggai, the king's eunuch, the custodian of the women, advised. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all who saw her. You see, she did not just catch the eye of the king, but everyone she was in contact with. Your influence is greater than you know. The words you speak are louder than you realize. The people you touch, it goes deeper than you ever can imagine. You see, you have the eye of the king, which then means that you are radiating the light of Jesus. And when you walk down the street, you're not just anyone walking down the street. But you are someone who doesn't need anything, just as Esther didn't need anything. She just was herself. She just brought herself before the king. You don't need anything either. You don't need all the fluff and the gems and the jewelry and the, oh, I've got to have a good reputation and I've got to have this. Listen, you have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords backing you. You have favor in his sight. You are a chosen daughter of God. And just as Esther went before the king that day, and she found favor not just in his sight, but in the sight of everyone who saw her, that is great influence. That is something to be praised. That is something to be honored. Verse 16, so Esther was taken to the king Ahasuerus, and in his royal palace on the 10th month, which is in the month of Tebeth, the seventh year of the reign. Verse 17, the king loved Esther. The king loved Esther. Do you know that the king of the Most High loves you? He loves you. He's chosen you. He has called you. He has a plan for you. And you are not just a normal person sitting at your home, cleaning the laundry, taking care of the family, whatever it is you do, going to work. You are special in his sight, and he loves you just as the king loved Esther. And more than all the other women, she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins. So he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. He chose righteousness. Listen, you are a daughter of God, right standing with the Father, and you have been given the queen's crown. You are special in his sight. And the enemy is going to do everything he can to knock you off your position in God's kingdom. He will lie to you. He will defeat you. He will speak things in your mind. He will keep you awake at night with lies. He will consume your time and keep you busy so you don't spend time with the Word of God. He will try and throw you off your game so you forget that you were chosen. And today, I'm here to reboot your system and to tell you, you are chosen. You are a royal priesthood. You are His holy nation. You are special in His sight, and you have favor in His courts. You are special. So when the enemy comes in and tries to steal, kill, and destroy your day, your life, your family, your confidence, who you are, you send him away and you say, no, but I'm chosen by God. No, I'm not going to believe that lie because I'm chosen by God. And you are going to begin to walk in favor as Esther did. Verse 18, the king made a great feast. The feast of Esther. For all the officials, the servants that proclaimed this holiday in the provinces, and they gave gifts according to the generosity of the king. Isn't that amazing? Do you know that when we praise God, that he is thrilled? Do you know that when you stop your day to be with him, that he is honored? Do you know that when you stop your mouth from gossiping, and you begin to open your mouth in prayer and praise, that God begins to inhabit the praises of his people. And that's when things begin to move and change. And he does that for those that are chosen, those that are called, and those that are anointed by God. And that is you, daughter of God. Let's go over some scriptures. In Isaiah 43:10, I love this version. It's a new version. It's called The Voice. And it says in verse 10, you are my witness. You are my proof. Did you know that? You are God's witness. You are God's proof. He proves himself through you. That's pretty intense, don't you think? And listen to this. You whom I chose. You whom I chose. The enemy's going to tell you, oh, you're just not good enough. You're not pretty enough. You're not educated enough. You don't say the right things. Look at you. You just screwed that up. You just said the wrong thing. Oh, look at you. You just didn't make the right decision in that area. And you messed that up. And the enemy will begin to undo what it is God has built in your heart. The saddest part of this, girls, is we have to be careful and we have to remind ourselves that we are chosen, because a bad word can break down everything else that has been built and built over years. You see, God builds upon righteousness and love and grace and mercy in our lives and in our hearts, and we become these beautiful women of God that he has chosen, that he's created, that he's formed. And then the enemy comes in with a lie or a circumstance or a tragedy, and it knocks us off our pedestal. It takes us off our course, and we forget, oh, I was chosen. Oh, yeah, I was chosen. Today is your day to say, oh, yeah, I was chosen. Oh, yeah, I'm here for a reason. Oh, yeah, I'm not just anyone. I'm special in the sight of God. And it doesn't matter what so-and-so said about me. And it doesn't matter if I screwed up, because I'm going to screw up. That's who I am. Thank God I get to go before the throne, ask for repentance, ask God to help me be a better person, ask God to help me get to the next level. You see, God has a plan, just as he did for Esther. You are chosen for a special purpose, the rest of that verse says. You see, what is that? I don't know. Each of us have our own purpose. Each of us have our own position and our own job. We have to be in our spot. My servant, in order that you would know me, trust me, be faithful to me. Understand that I am God alone. No God was formed before me, and there will be no God after me. You see, you are his witness. You are his chosen priesthood, his royal nation. Does that verse come alive inside of you now when you realize that you are chosen, that you are the reflection of who he is in this world, in this lost and dying world, who needs a savior, who needs a king, who needs a God, who needs hope, who needs joy, who needs peace, who needs comfort? You are the answer to that, girls. You are the answer. Do not discredit who you are. When we discredit who we are, which it's easy for us to do, we slap God in the face. And we say, that wasn't good enough. What you said about me and what you asked me to do wasn't good enough. I don't believe you. And God says, stop it. That hasn't changed. What I spoke over you, what I knew about you before you were in your mother's womb has not changed. And you know who has to change in that situation? Not God. You. Me. We have to change. When we begin to get defeated, we have to stir ourselves up and get ourselves out of it. And remind her, I am chosen. This is what God has asked me to do. What path is it you need me to go in, Lord? And Lord, what do you need me to do to show the people in this world that you are God and you are God alone? You see, Esther was positioned. They didn't know who she was. They did not know she was a Jew. They did not know where she came from. They did not even know that she was Mordecai's niece. You may be in a workplace, you may be in a position, you may be somewhere, and you might be there working. I talked to a lady today, or actually on Sunday, and she was saying, you know, I'm working, and this girl next to me, she's in a homosexual lifestyle, but I'm a Christian, and so she knows I'm a Christian, so she gets really loud when she wants to talk about, you know, her homosexual lifestyle, and I go, what are you doing about that? And she goes, I'm just going to be me. I'm just going to love God. I'm not going to condemn. I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to be the light that she needs to see because she needs to see the light of God. You see, everywhere you are his mouthpiece. You are on a mission and you are on assignment. But you are chosen first. And God doesn't just choose us because he wants to. He chooses us because he loves you. He chooses us because he trusts you. He chooses you because he cares for you. In Jeremiah 1:5, it says, before I even formed you in your mother's womb, I knew all about you. Before you drew your first breath, I had already chosen you to be my prophet, to speak my word to the nations. Did you know that that was what your calling was? Did you know that it's not just Pastor Jess who's supposed to preach? Did you know that? Did you know it's not just Pastor Deborah and Pastor Jim and Pastor Luke and Pastor Eleanor and all the ministers up here that get in this pulpit? That is not just our job. You and you and you and you and you are all called to speak the word of God to the nations. Excuse me. You see, Dwight L. Moody said this, if the world is going to be reached, I am convinced that it must be done by men and women of average talent. That just annihilates everything. You know, I can't sing. Sometimes I watch Tracy and I'm like, that would be so dreamy to be able to just sing how I feel about God. You know, thank God he calls it a sweet sound. I'm sure that not my family or anybody else calls it a sweet sound, but it's sweet to him. And, you know, you can look at someone and you can go, well, I'm just not smart enough. I wish I could have been a doctor. I wish I could have, you know, stuck in there and done that. I wish I could have done this. God says, stop wish you could've. Because you're special to me now. And today is the day that you have. Today is the day that you are to rejoice in. Today is the day that I called you. And you may be average, but in my book, you're not average. You know what you are? You're ready to go. You're ready to go because when I tell you to do something, you're on assignment and I can trust you to go. I can trust you to love the way that only you can love. I can trust you to believe me for the impossible. Where maybe someone who, you know, is really over smart and doesn't really believe in the things of God, they're going to talk themselves out of faith. But you have nothing to lose. You don't care, right? That's how I feel. I have nothing to lose. Might as well try it. Might as well figure it out, trust God along the way, and see what he does. And if I fail, oh well, at least he's got my back and he's holding me in his hand because I'm his daughter. And if I walk in faith, I've pleased him. We talked about this weekend. Faith is what pleases God. You see, Esther pleased God so he could put her in a position. I want to please God. Do you want to please God? Then we need to remind ourselves who we are because the enemy is going to rob that from us because if he can rob it from us, then the second part is your purpose. You will never reach your purpose. It will be stolen from you. You will never reach what it is God has asked you to do. You see, I can only talk for myself, and And I remember there was a time in my life when I was just so in love with the Lord, and I was single. I was living with my sister Kim, and I was in every church service. I listened to, you know, every preacher on TV. I didn't listen to any secular music. I mean, I was really like, I'm going to serve God every second of every moment of every day. You know, like, it was just like my goal. And I just remember I was in such a good place, and I'm still there. I'm still in a great place. But that was just such a good time. I didn't have a husband or children or responsibilities, really. I just came to work and laughed with my friends and, you know, just did life. And I remember my mom would tell me, you know, you need to go to Bible college. And I, yes, I do need to go to Bible college. I think you should go to Rhema Bible Training Center. She had dropped that seed in my heart when I was really young. And I'm like, oh, okay. But then the Lord spoke to me when I was young. And I remember I was probably about like 13. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, you'll go to Bible college with your husband. That's all I heard. So when I was now in this new place of loving God and being passionate about God and, you know, all the past and all the horrible things that I had gone through, God had saved me, restored me from. And now here I am in this intimate moment with the Lord. And I'm getting, well, what are you doing, Jess? Like, kind of on limbo. You know, you're not in college. You want to go to Bible college. And I'm like, I do want to go to Bible college, but I know the word that God put in my heart. And I really probably didn't even tell you that, huh? I don't even know if I told you that. But I remember my mom saying, well, maybe you'll find your man in Bible college. And, you know, it's true. It's called Rhema Bridal Training Center. And, and everybody there is looking for their mate, you know, like, and not a bad place to find a husband or a wife. But I was not going for that purpose. I was just so passionate about God. And I almost felt like I don't need a man. I've had enough men there. Horrible. Like, I don't want anyone except if they're like my dad. That's what I said to myself. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this little, you know, band came into the youth group. Little band, there was only like four people in it. And there's this guy with like long hair and guitar and skinny. And all of a sudden he caught my eye and I'm like, why would I like him? I like jocks, you know, like they had to like bench press 350 and like on the football field, you know, like, I mean, just completely opposite. Poor Dan, he already knows this, so you can tell him, he already knows. And we began to talk and I began to see his heart. Now, this was a man that loved God. He loved God so much that I was drawn to the love of God in his heart. All of a sudden, nothing else mattered. I didn't care what he looked like. I had already been there, done that. The good ones are always screwed up. So you know what? The good-looking ones, I mean. And, you know, they're either gay or married or something. And so all of a sudden, I'm sitting here and going, okay, I could try this. And Dan and I fell in love over a period of 6 months. And we knew. And I remember my mom would say, he's real quiet. Are you sure? Like, you're so outgoing and loud and obnoxious. Like, are you going to drive him nuts? Is he going to drive you nuts? Like, yeah, probably. And we do drive each other a little crazy, but we love each other. And all of a sudden, Dan and I talked right before we got married, and he's like, what are we going to do? And I'm like, I don't know. And he lost his job 10 days before we got married. Yeah, talk about pressure on. Dun, dun, dun. You know, like, and in my mind, I'm going back to all those loser boyfriends that I drove around, that I was the only one that had a job, and I picked them up and took them everywhere, and I'm like, wait, this is not going to happen again. I'm not marrying him if he doesn't have a job. And poor Dan, that man beat the pavement, man. He was out 8 hours a day looking for a job. And so he took any job he could find. So he started selling cell phones. That's kind of a tongue twister. Selling cell phones. Say that 10 times fast. And he started selling cell phones, and I just remember going, okay, how many did you sell today? Okay, well, I sold this many. I'm like, well, what are you doing? You know, like, I'm kind of a saleswoman. It's kind of in me, and I'm like, are you telling him that this product and that has this? And he's like, all right, I'll try that tomorrow. So then he goes back, and he sells more, and Dan actually did pretty well, but he hated the job. I mean, he was just like, I hate this. Little did he know he was going to be selling, you know, Jesus to the hearts of people and, you know, saving souls. God had a bigger plan for him. So Dan gets this job. We're going, this isn't really working. This is not what we want to do. We're totally ministry-minded. We were so committed to the youth group at that time. We just loved the house of God and loved what it was that God was doing in our lives. And Dan says to me, let's go to Bible college. And I go, well, the only Bible college I'm going to is Rhema Bible Training Center. And he goes, well, what about the Rock Bible College? I'm like, I've already been there. I want to go, like, somewhere else. Like, I'm moving on. And so we went to Rhema Bible Training Center 2 weeks after we got married. It was probably the best thing we ever did because when we got in a fight, I couldn't call mama. And if I did call mama, she'd be like, sorry, go talk to your husband about it. You know, and we had to work it out. And moms, you should do that to your children because that is their marriage, not yours. And that's a little, that was for free. Okay, so it was so good for Dan and I because we had to learn how to become Dan and Jess. We had to learn how to, and I realized that when I was there that I was called to the ministry. The Lord spoke to my heart, the Rock Church and World Outreach in San Bernardino is where you're called. And the Lord spoke to Dan's heart, and we just knew that we knew that we knew where we were supposed to be and what we were supposed to do. You see, we were chosen for this time. We were chosen for this moment. I know that that was a God-ordained journey that I was on, and I knew that my path could have gone different ways. I could have done it differently, but I went back to the word that God spoke to me at the age of 13, and I remembered what he said to me. You see, if he's going to choose you to do something, he's going to give you a word to set you on course. Now, the enemy will come and try and gear you off course in any way possible. But girls, you stay on what God spoke to you. You remind yourself what it is that he has for you. And you walk down that path and that destiny that he has laid before you. Point number two is purpose. Esther had purpose. Let's go to Esther 4. Esther 4, 13 through 7. And Mordecai told them to answer Esther. Now, this is right when Esther finds out that the Jewish people have been, you know, laws have been written, papers have gone out, their lives are being stripped. They are going to be killed. And Mordecai tells this to Esther, do not think in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. Sometimes we need a little jolt. You know, sometimes we're kind of in our blessing and we're like, oh, life's good. You know, God loves me, and I love him, and life is good, and my king loves me, and Esther was there, and hell is breaking loose on the outskirts of this kingdom, and Mordecai sends a wake-up call. Listen, don't you think that you're going to get away with this little missy, because you're the servant of God just as much as they are, and as soon as they find out who you are, listen, you, daughters of God, even though you've been chosen, you will be persecuted for your faith. You will. And that is not a bad thing. Because God says, if you're doing the right thing, if you're speaking my name, you will be persecuted. That's a good place to be in. Because you have a crown in heaven that is so great and so worth it. And here he is, he's reminding her, who are you? Don't you think you're going to escape this in the palace? And it says, for if you remain completely silent. You see, she had a choice. She could have just stayed on her quiet course and stayed in her luxuries and not told anyone who she was. Because remember, no one knew but Mordecai that she was Jewish. She could have allowed this to happen. That you may be faced with a situation where God brings it and puts it in your lap and says, okay, you're chosen, but now what's your purpose? Here it is. And that purpose is not always easy. The purpose and the job is not always comfortable. You know, we have a saying around here that this isn't a luxury job. You don't just get to make up what it is you want to do. Same thing goes in the kingdom. You don't get to choose what it is you get to do for God. God tells you what it is you're going to do for him. And when you have been chosen and you take on, yes, I will do the job you've asked me to do. I remember being in you know, worship conferences and youth conferences and God, I will go anywhere for you. I will do anything for you. Have you done that? Have you been there? These moments of just like, I will go to the mission field for you. And then when he starts asking, you're like, really? Wait, that probably wasn't God. You start talking yourself out of it a little bit. I am sure poor Esther was standing there going, well, great. You know, like this was not just for me to just enjoy life. Wonderful. Verse 14. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. I don't want God to bypass me. I don't want God to say, well, I called on her and she wasn't ready, so I got to move on. Because you see, he's equipping saints all over the world. He's readying the hearts of men to do what it is he's asked on a dime. If God says to do something, you're ready to go, then you will be used. But if not, he will move on. I don't want God to move past me. And Esther loved God so much, she didn't want God to not use her. She understood what it was that she was positioned for. She understood the purpose and the job ahead of her. But if your father's house will perish, yet who knows whether you will have come the kingdom for such, if you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Girls, we're living in a very dark world. The people do not like Christians, have you noticed? Our message, the word of God, is not popular. You know, we live in a coexist, tolerant society. And I loved what Pastor Luke said. We are in a society that really is not tolerant at all. If you don't like what I say, then I'm going to tell you about it. What is that? That's not tolerance. But listen, the gospel is offensive. It's offensive. And I'm not going to apologize for what the word of God says and for what the word is being preached, for what he's asked us to do as his daughters. I will not back down. I will stand firm. I will walk in my purpose. If he's given me a job to do, I will be one that he can say she will get it done. Girls, what about you? You say, I'm scared to tell people about Jesus because it'll offend them. So what? Listen. Their sinful nature does offend me. I'm new. I'm washed. I don't want nothing to do with that. But listen, they need to know this amazing king that saved me from all the sin and muck I was in. And they need to know that they don't have to walk down that road any longer. And it may offend them. It may ruffle their feathers the wrong way. But listen, you don't answer to them, do you? When it's all said and done and you go before the king, do you want him to say to you, so when this situation came up, you kind of backed out. You were a bit wimpy on that matter. I had to send another laborer to speak to that person. Or do you want him to say, good job, daughter. Your good works, they were blessed and they're totally proven right now. Well done. That's what I want to hear from my king. That's what I want to know my Savior says to me. You see, everything we do is for the name of Jesus. Everything we do is for the love of a king. And Esther understood her place and her purpose and her position. So she says this in verse 14. For if you remain completely, in verse 15. Then Esther told them to reply this to her uncle Mordecai. Go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. And so I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. Listen, if you perish, you perish. Because let me tell you something. You only perish from this body and from this world. But you have everlasting life. You get to be with your maker. It is not goodbye. It is see you later. It is not the end of all. You listen, the people behind are the ones that are hurting more than anybody else. And if they know that you've served God and you've served your purpose, I'll tell you right now, they're celebrating. They're celebrating. You see, when Brother Hagin died, I'll never forget when I heard he died. I couldn't cry because I wasn't sad for him. You know what? I was excited for that man. He talked about the day he would meet Jesus. He actually told us how he was going to die. And 4 years later, I asked Cheryl Salem when she told me he died. I'm like, how did he die? And he sure enough said goodbye to his wife, and he fell into his bowl of oatmeal. He told us, the last class that he ever taught, that's how he was going to die. And I was like, what? That's crazy. You know, like this guy like had another realm. He was in a different world, you know. And when he left this world and moved on to Jesus, he was not looking back. He was not worried about his wife, his kids. He was not worried about the church of God. He knew that he did his job, that he probably heard, well done, good and faithful. Listen, girls, you have an assignment. You have a purpose. You have a job. You see, you are here for a reason. And you say, well, I'm in the position that I'm in because I made some bad choices, Pastor Jess, and maybe I didn't walk down that path that God had for me, and now I find myself in a place that, you know, maybe this wasn't where he had me be, but listen, nothing that you have done can't be reconciled with God. You know, in Romans, I love this verse. In Romans 8:28, it says, "For we know that God is always at work for the good of everyone who loves him. They are the ones God has chosen for his purpose." You see, he turns around everything for the good of those that love the Lord. You, it doesn't matter where you've been, doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter where you've landed right now. Today's the day that you remind yourself that I am chosen. Today's the day that you remember and recognize that you have a purpose, you have a job to do. You girls have to be in your spot. If you're not in your spot, then someone else will take that place. And I don't want God to not be able to use you in the capacity he's created you for, because you will be miserable in that. You will be in depression. You will be discouraged. You will be defeated if you begin to take yourself down your own road. But seek the face of God. Esther knew her job. She knew the assignment. So what did she do? You could tell she had her moment. Okay, then I'm going to perish if I don't go before the king. Then this is what we're going to do. Prepare for me a meal. I'm going to go before him unsummoned, and if I die, I die. You see, God, whatever it is you need for me to do, if I look foolish, I look foolish. If I die, I die. Those people that have been beheaded on the other side of the world for Jesus' name, they walked into victory. They walked into a loving God. To a God that said, "Well done, good and faithful servant." You see, they gave their life for the sake of Jesus. And she was willing to do the same. Are we? Rick Warren says, "It's not about you. The purpose of your life is far greater than your own personal fulfillment. Your peace of mind or even your happiness. It is far greater than your family, than your career, or even your wildest dreams and ambitions. If you want to know why you are placed on this planet, you must begin with God. You were made by God and for God. And until you understand that, life is not and will not make sense." You see, Esther was there for a reason. She had a job. She was in her spot. I want to ask a question to you. Are you in your spot? And if you are in your spot, are you doing a great job? You see, I had to go to the throne this week and be like, "Where's my spot, God? And is it, am I pleasing you in my spot? Am I doing what it is you need me to do in this place you've asked me to be?" You see, when we come before the throne, he begins to write it out for us. He begins to say, "Actually, daughter, you haven't done this exactly right. And you didn't say this completely the right way. And I need you to change this so that I can use you and mold you and shape you. And I need you to do this." And you'll begin to get almost like a manuscript of how to do life in the spot that he's asked you to be in. He's never said that, "I'm going to leave you. You're on your own now." He didn't say, "Hey, Esther, see you later. You're on your own." No, he said, "Hey, Esther, I got your back. You step out in faith because that's what pleases him." I believe faith opens the windows of heaven. He opened that door for Esther to enter the throne room of that king. And she could have had her head beheaded. And I wanted to show you that clip, but we don't have time. He could have, but that king found favor with Esther because God went before her. And she was able to carry out her purpose. You see, purpose will come. Your job is going to come. And it's important. So don't underestimate what it is God has asked you to do. It may seem like little. It may be, just tell so-and-so that I love them. And you're going, "Okay, well, that's not a big job. I want a bigger job, God. I want to be like the pastor." You know, listen, you don't want that job. Because that job comes with a whole bunch of other stuff. You might be in your spot right now because someone is so broken and the pastor isn't there because the pastor is running the ship over here, and that pastor has sent you out to go into your neighborhood, into your stores, into your world and say, "Hey, Jesus loves you." You know, the other day, I was talking with a friend and he was telling me he was at Costco and there was this kid just flipping out. I mean, this kid was like, like flipping out, and everybody's walking by this mom, and this mom is sitting away from the child. So I get it. I mean, I've been there. Like, You want to have a temper tantrum in public? You go ahead. This happened to me at Disneyland many times. And so the mom was just frustrated. And this guy that I was talking to, he's like, I just felt like, was anyone going to help her? You know, like, everyone just kept walking past her, and no one was doing anything. And this child is, like, going crazy. And this mom just looked so discouraged. She said she just was, like, at her wit's end. And he walked over and he said, are you with this kid? And she goes, I don't want to be. Have you ever felt that way? And he goes, well, it sounds to me like he needs a little, you know, discipline. And she goes, well, I can't. That's the problem. I can't discipline because, you know, I can't spank my child and da-da-da-da. And he goes, well, what happened when you acted like this? What did your parents do to you? And she goes, man, I got a spanking. And my mom would have never let me act like that. And he's like, did it work? She goes, yeah. He's like, are you a good person? She goes, yeah. And he goes, listen, you know, I'm a Christian, and God says that if you, you know, discipline a child, they will not die. You know, you spank a child, they will not die. And she goes, And she grabs a little kid. She goes, you're in trouble when we get home. And she took that kid back to the car. And I said, was she saved? Did you know if she, like, loved God? He goes, I didn't care. I felt like God was like, go talk to her. That mom walked away, he said, with a smile on her face and hope in her heart that she could control that situation and handle that. You know, you never know. It could be something as simple as that. And maybe she goes, okay, I've regained my confidence. I'm the one in charge. I'm the parent. You know, I always tell my kids, I'm sorry, you are not the parent. I am the parent. And this is how this is going to go today. You know, and you have to reboot. I call it reboot. When my kids get a spanking, I'm like, you need a reboot? And they're like, no, I'm good. But I got good kids because my kids know the word of God. And my kids know that they're loved. And now I don't really have to discipline as much because they know that there were boundaries and there were consequences, there were things. And I was taught that by women in my life who supported me. You see, your job may be that you are in the middle of a store and you see a broken mom and she's discouraged. And instead of judging her like we learned about last week, oh gosh, she needs to spank her kid, nah. You go over there and you say, hey, are you okay? You see, you soften it. How are you? Are you okay? Do you need some help? And start with gentleness and love and kindness. And those walls will get broken down. And maybe then you can speak into her life and be like, you know what? There's a great place for you to be. God loves you. It's not over. This is just the beginning. You will see goodness. And you begin to speak life back into all these broken hearts in this world that we live with. You are His chosen purpose. You have a job and a call, and it is your job to carry it out. You see, Esther saw victory in all of this, and Mordecai and Esther saw blessing in all of this. Let's go to Esther 8. Esther 8. Esther 8:8, and this is the king after they had hung Haman, and Haman got caught, and God went before them, and he actually hung on the same gallows that he had made for Mordecai. Don't you just love how God does that? He kind of like throws it in their face and makes it happen. So here's the king, and he's talking to Mordecai, and he says, and Esther, you yourselves write a decree concerning the Jews as you please. He wasn't even going to rewrite that decree to kill the Jews. He said, you guys write it. I trust you. Now that is favor. It takes a lot for me to go tell someone, I need you to do this. Because I always in my mind, I'm like, are they going to do it the way I asked? Maybe they're not going to do it the right way. And did it. He did not even go there. He said, you do it how you want to do it. Now that's favor. And he said, just as you please, in the king's name, and seal it with the king's signet ring. And for whatever is written in the king's name will be sealed, and the king's signet ring no one can revoke. It's a done deal. The Jews are saved. They now can have life. They can now gather their stuff and do life again and be free. And I love this. Let's go down to verse 16 and 17. And it says, the Jews had light and gladness and joy and honor. And in every province of the city, wherever the king's commanded and decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a holiday, and then many of the people of the land became Jews because fear of the Jews fell upon them. They were saved. They knew Jesus. All because Esther was in her spot, doing what it is God asked her to do. And God showed her victory in the end. You see, you may be in the middle of your spot. You may be doing the job God has asked you to do. And you might go, is there an end to this? Is there victory in this? Am I going to see this? You will see victory. You see, because God does not leave you hanging, but God will come to your rescue. He is lining it all up, but he needs you to position yourself so that the victory will be accomplished. You see, everything done for the kingdom is to see the soul saved. I was listening to Christine Kane preach this morning, and she was talking about how she had just gone through cancer, and the enemy attacked her in her throat. Now, if you know her, she's an evangelist, and he went straight for her nodules in her throat. Like, she may not wake up when she went in for surgery without a voice. She may not ever have a voice again. Don't you think that's evil? That's a bit evil. And she said that as she was there and she was having her last moment with God, laying on the table and nobody else was there except for the doctor's team. Her last prayer wasn't, oh God, if I don't come out of this, my babies, or if I don't come out of this, my husband. Her last prayer to God was, oh God, I hope I reached everyone you needed me to reach. I hope I said everything you needed me to say. And I hope I was where you needed me to be. And I hope as I go that I take everyone to heaven with me you've asked me to minister to. That is a prayer I want to be praying with my last breath. I don't want to think about those things that are fleeting. It doesn't matter where you live. Doesn't matter what you're wearing. Doesn't matter what you drive. All that's blessings. And I don't blame anyone for having nice things. Awesome. Good on you. Because I believe God wants to bless his people. But in the ultimate bigger picture of all this, have you done your job? Did you run in your race? Did you remember who you were? You see, victory in the end is great. It's sweet. It's yummy. It's refreshing. Victory means having won a victory or having ended in a victory. I know that the end is not laid out for us. We don't know what's happening, but what we do know is that the end is written, that he's coming back. That he's coming back. And that we are called to see people saved. That means, girlfriends, I am commissioning you today. You are full-time ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You go out into the highways and the byways, and you compel the people in your world to get into the house of God, to see their lives changed. You say they won't listen, then you start praying like you never prayed before. You ask God to open a door that you never thought to open. You believe for the impossible, because victory comes with a price. You see, she paid a price. She took a risk. She had to pull that trigger, as we say nowadays. And she did what it was she needed to do. God is asking us, are you ready to go? Can I trust you? Can I ask you? I have victory. It's waiting. Do you want to taste victory? Do you want to taste goodness? Do you want to see victory? I love this, in the end. I do. I don't want to one day be at the end of my life and going, oh, I just so missed it. I missed God. That would be the most heartbreaking place to be in. That would be the most discouraging place to be. But you can say, oh no, I did what God asked me to do. And I said what God needed me to say. And I know that I led people to the Lord that God needed me to lead to the Lord. And I put my selfish ambitions aside and I served God with all of my heart. And that is victory. That is victory. 1 Corinthians says, 15:57. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, but thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, you don't have to make it happen. It happens in him. It happens through him and in him. All you have to do is be obedient, be in your spot, and do your job, and he will make sure it comes to pass. Victory at all cost. Victory in spite of all terror. Victory however long and hard the road may be. For without victory, there is no survival. Winston Churchill said that. Listen, girls, we learned from Esther that she was chosen, but we are chosen. We learned from Esther that she had a purpose and a job to do. You, girls, have a purpose and you have a job to do. And we learned from Esther that there will be victory at the end of that road. And girls, I'm here to say to you, there will be victory at the end of your road. And you will be in the king's throne. And he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. If you got something from God today, let's give him a hand.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.